Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we have the privilege to be in studio one more time, one more week, hopefully one more year, hopefully one more decade, maybe even two or three decades, maybe, well, as long as we can be salt and light, make a difference while there is yet time. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, jot it down if you have not done so already. Some people who have listened to this broadcast for a long time say, I know it's equip.org, but this is not a pond, it's a stream. People coming in all the time, and equip.org is the way to access the materials that we talk about on the broadcast. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I just picked up Time Magazine from my inbox as I was walking into the studio, almost literally when I was walking into the studio. And I thought I got to say something about this, because the cover story, cover page says, beyond he or she. So the whole idea that God made them male and female is now out the window, because as the subtext says, a new generation is redefining the meaning of gender. The article by Katie Steinmetz. And it takes practice, but you can build up to this. I mean, this is something, if you just kind of get into the groove, you can start to recognize that gender is fluid, to say the least. In fact, when you open up the Time magazine, you go to the actual article, you'll see in big letters, infinite identities. A growing number of young people are moving beyond the idea that we live in a world where sexuality and gender come in only two forms, which is to say, we have for thousands of years identified people as either male or female, but we're now moving beyond that. We thought when the whole issue of same-sex sexuality hit the big screen, well, it would end with that. At least some people were naive enough to think that. We were talking about this for decades. This is just, well, a tipping point. So what's happening? Well, the article talks about Park City, Utah, where students are lining up at a local high school to get their locker assignments for the semester. And the group leaders are now counting the different identity labels they've encountered. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. But there are more, way more. There are people who are pan. There's also a romantic, a sexual, gender queer, two-spirit, and on and on and on it goes. Others say their feelings about gender don't fit in any of those boxes, and they could change over time. Some days I feel like my gender could be like what I was assigned at birth, but there are other days where I feel exactly the opposite. Who identifies as gender fluid? Well, many are now in that category, and they're using the pronoun they rather than he or she. And Facebook, with more than 1 billion users, now has some, I mean, this is an incredible number. Some 60 options for users' gender. By some counts, there are more than 200 characters on cable TV and streaming series, influential celebrities like Miley Cyrus, who have come out as everything from flexible in their gender to, well, mostly straight. The legal trappings that organize society around two categories of people are now being challenged in a very legal way. A bill introduced in California in January, just this past January, just a few months ago, would add a third gender option on identification documents like driver's licenses and birth certificates, male, female, or non-binary. There's probably going to be a big uproar about that. How could California be as benighted as only giving three possibilities when there are many, many more? In fact, sexuality experts are now talking about 100 to 200 shades or variations. And why categorize yourself in any sense? Because the categorization may change in a month or two, a day or two, a year or two, a decade or two. So why start changing documents when those documents are soon going to be outdated? What's interesting about reading this article is as you read through it, the people that are really on board with all of this, well, they are experts. They are researchers. They are in the enlightened category. What about those who might say, wait a minute, not so fast? Taking thousands of years of civilization, casting it to the wind? Maybe we shouldn't be that precipitous. Well, the word troll is used for those kinds of people. They are trolls, kind of images in your mind of knuckle-dragging apes, people who are not particularly enlightened. One pastor gratuitously cited in the article. So what do we do? I mean, we can curse the darkness. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to think that this is being extolled. I mean, this is not just being reported. This is being extolled. And there's the implicit warning. You kind of get it if you're smart. If you should say something contrary to this particular narrative, well, then you might cause someone to commit suicide. You might cause violence to another person. So be very, very careful, because you will be a hater if you even question the 100 to 200 shades. Well, I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, if you put a pound of salt into a quart of water, the water should get pretty salty. So why are there thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians? Why are there some churches in the city that I belong to that have 20,000 or more members? And yet, somehow or other, no impact on the culture, no impact on the narrative. You would think that with as many Christians as there are in America, there'd be some impact on the culture, but why no substantive impact? Could it be possible that Christians are cowed, don't dare proclaim truth from the housetops or from radio signals or television signals? Well, it's possible that the salt has lost its saltiness, and it's high time that we do something about that. God has spoken. The Bible's crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. The Bible carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete, and we have to have the right kind of attitude, which is not an attitude of silence, because trust me, just trust me on this. People who think this is enlightened are the people that are hurting millions and millions of impressionable children. and perhaps the number could be said in a more grandiose way. So we have to preach the right things in the right ways. We need conviction and compassion, not compromise. We must not yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. It is very, very tempting to do that. We should never go against our conscience. As has been well said, this is neither safe nor is it right. We should never yield to cultural norms. They're going to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity, and yet to yield, to abandon the call that God has placed upon our collective lives is, well, nothing short of sin and sickness. We cannot deny natural law, because to do that is to strike a mortal blow to the very foundation of civilization and society. Well, a lot of you hanging on. I'm going to talk about this a little more when we get to the quote of the day in the third segment of the broadcast. From now until then, we'll be taking your calls. Let's first go to Adam. He's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank. As I listen to, you read what you just read, and just as I go through everything in my own life and things that are, I find myself wondering if, like, the end of the age has changed and the Holy Spirit is no longer working in the world. Like, I get scared, man. It feels so dark, and it feels like, I question everything. I question whether the Holy Spirit's even working in the world anymore. I question whether any of us are saved, or if this is just the end and the world is just going down drains. I don't know. Just wondered if you could speak to that.
Well, the Holy Spirit is actively working within the world. The Holy Spirit works in a normative way through people, which is to say through you and I. And we are called not just to work by our own might or our own power, but by an energy that is from above. I think all too often what we do is we rely on mere bios when there's more available to us as we are being engrafted with the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to be transformational agents. But look, we oftentimes talk at the Christian Research Institute, whether personally amongst ourselves or in a broader public sense, about the power of one. When you think about one person nailing 95 theses to the castle door in Wittenberg and protesting things like indulgences, where the Pope and his apostles were selling indulgences primarily for the building of the St. Peter's Basilica, but oftentimes the money never went any farther than that. In other words, never actually went to the project. So there was a protestation against these kinds of teachings. Johann Tetzel making it popular to say, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. So one man, whether people like the Reformation or don't like the Reformation, the split in the Western Church, the truth of the matter is one man made a difference. You think of Wilberforce and slavery, and you see once again the power of one. And it doesn't take a big platform. It doesn't of necessity take a lot of money. What it takes is a deep and abiding commitment to a power that is beyond ourselves. And so this is not a time to throw up our hands and say, well, the Holy Spirit is no longer working redemptively within the world. Yes, the Holy Spirit is, but we are the agents through which the Holy Spirit works. Now, why is it that Time magazine is glorifying something other than that which can transform the world? Why is that? Well, it is because pagans are exercising their job description. Why is it that the culture is moving in gender-bending directions? Well, it is because Christians have failed to do what Christians are commissioned to do. So the real problem, ultimately, in my view, is the church. And the church, again, going back to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has become very self-indulgent. The salt has lost its saltiness. The light is under a bushel. And all of that needs to change. All of that can change. That is one of the reasons that in an uncompromising fashion, the Christian Research Institute continues to put out the Christian Research Journal dealing directly with these issues. I write books that deal with these issues. We talk about it on the radio, and we're bringing this message around the world. So I don't think this is time to give up or to speculate when the end will be, but make a difference while there's yet time. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
A popular poster reminds us that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's difficult in a world where we're constantly bombarded by distractions and the roar of the media that gets louder by the day, and where the temptations to major on the minor are relentless. But as soft persecution mounts for Christians in the West, and growing numbers of lives are lost to the brutal persecution of Christians around the world, we cannot afford the derailments that could result from these distractions. Because the work of equipping fellow believers to think and live Christianly has never been more critical, let us hear from you today. To make a difference in the ongoing struggle for truth and life, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Talk to Rob next in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Good to talk to you. I really appreciate your broadcast.
Thank you.
I have kind of a simple solution to all the gender problems, and I don't know if it's appropriate on the air. And just like your comment, I think there should just be two categories, HP and NP. HP stands for have penis, and NP stands for no penis.
Well, let me say that I don't think that's appropriate. I think that God made them male and female, and to relegate this to either having a certain genitalia or not, this is certainly about biology, but I wouldn't want to use that as the way to categorize it. I think that is demeaning to females, to say the least. But the point underlying all of this is an important point, and that point is that gender has always been tied to biology, and we are now upsetting that and thinking that we have come to a new epoch in human civilization where we have evolved and progressed to the point where what we believed even a decade ago no longer has any meaning or validity. Tasha next, listening in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, on Bot Radio. Hi, Tasha.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
You sound wonderful.
All right. Well, Hank, I've been listening to your show in the evenings on my way home from work, and it's been very enlightening. And I recently had a situation occur in my own family that I've been just really at loss as far as how to deal with it. My sister recently announced to the family that she's engaged to a man who we have found out is transitioning to become a female. She has let us know that that she now feels that she is bisexual. I don't know if this is in order to accommodate what is happening with this gentleman. I'm very worried about what's going on with her, what's going on, the future of my 16-year-old nephew who's in the house. I don't understand how this has happened. We were both brought up with the same Christian values. She claims to be Christian. And we've just vacillated all over the place, my husband and I, about what to do with this. And we're just really needing some advice as far as to how to start this conversation with her and her fiancé. We do hope. We've prayed about it a lot. We understand that we're actually searching after two people who are very lost, and hoping that they don't lead a third, my nephew, along with them. And we could just use some advice as to how to start this conversation. I come at it from a theological perspective, from a medical perspective. You can't change your DNA regardless of what you're able to do surgically. And I'm just very much afraid for her and for him and for my nephew, as far as I feel like they're very lost right now. How can I start this conversation?
Sure. And Tasha, let me say at the very outset that we should not take a burden upon ourselves that is not a burden that is assigned to us, which is to say that it is not our responsibility to change anybody's heart or lifestyle or mind. We don't have that responsibility. We don't have that province. We don't have that prerogative. We do have the responsibility, and I can tell from the prologue to the question that you have taken that seriously. We do have the responsibility to be equipped. This is one of those issues that we don't have to worry too much about conversation starters on, because the narrative is being pushed on us with veracity. So the idea here is to equip yourself to, again, go back to what I've said many times, to always be ready. This, of course, comes from the Apostle Peter as well as from Paul. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. And so you're in the ideal position as someone who is well-spoken, who understands the issues theologically, biologically, medically, as you pointed out. And I think, therefore, you can be salt and light, but you don't have to take the responsibility of changing anybody's heart, except by how we live in this world, which is to say that you are living as someone whose life and whose love gives an opportunity to open their lips and communicate life transformational truth. And God will give you that opportunity, if not in this case, in many other cases. It's a matter of the fields being white unto harvest, but the laborers being few. Why are the laborers few? They're simply not equipped. And so I can't stress enough, number one, that we don't have to take a responsibility that is the sovereign responsibility of God, but we do have to take a responsibility which He has given to us, and that is to be His spokespersons, and that in a way that is reaching people as opposed to repelling people. So again, don't take an undue responsibility, but you will have an opportunity, if not in this case, in many other cases. God has prepared you, Tasha.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kristen next. She's listening in Parsons, Kansas, on Bud Radio. Hi, Kristen.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I wrote out my questions, not too long, but on and off since I've been saved, which is the early 1980s, and I was in my 30s then, on and off I've had this fear that I'm guilty for not staying with a group. When I was first saved, I was living with a guy, and I'd asked, well, anyway, and I'd read in the Bible, don't have sex before marriage, so when I stopped having sex, I was out the door. But anyway, I was in so much pain, I asked for God's will, and all the Christians in town were praying with me, and I asked for circumstances, and I got them. And my godfather came to town in a sailboat, and I would have gotten to this particular group on the same day that they started their training, and I said, it's God's will, it's God's will. But anyway, and then I needed God to be gentle with me. I'd had a fear of Him ever since I first got saved, and I was ahead of, but anyway, and I said, God, what, I'm not so sure about this, and I heard in my left ear, not audibly, but it said, it's God's will, and you have to do it. And I went into fear, and the fear hasn't quit, really. It's gone off and on, and I went and I joined the group following that fear. I was thinking maybe it would go away, but no, I had the fear so bad they asked me to leave because I couldn't memorize their plays and stuff. But anyway, I'm told that Jesus only speaks to us in love and life and light. Am I allowed to reject this spirit which still comes at me at this advanced, I'm 67 now, age?
Well, I mean, the first thing, Kristen, is that we have an opportunity to follow Jesus Christ, to follow His principles and precepts. And the thing that we recognize when we do so is that we're not following simply intellectual commands, but we're following a person. And that person is one who loves you so much that He is willing to take your sickness, and we're all sick in sin, to take your sickness and redeem you from it such that you can have life that is life to the full in the present. So this is a gentle master who loves you and has done all that could be imagined, in fact, beyond what is imaginable, so that we could be reconciled to him and have life that is life to the full. So the quintessential point of understanding here is that Jesus is not one to be feared, but one to be befriended. Now, it is true that it is an awesome thing to come under judgment. And that is what people come under when they live lives in wanton abandonment of the principles that Christ has given us to live by. So there's a consequence to that in this life and the life to come. So I'm not suggesting that God is merely a God of love. A full-orbed understanding of God is a God who is both a God of love, but also a God of justice, a God of righteousness, a God of holiness, and we cannot take that lightly. But I don't think that we fear Jesus when we become participants in the kingdom. We treasure Jesus. We treasure the preciousness of the Holy Spirit. We have the opportunity through baptism to die, literally, be buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And now the effulgence of God begins to live within us, and we become partakers of the divine nature, and that relationship becomes one of deep and abiding love. We're brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. It's an awesome thing to contemplate. And as we partake of the means of grace, this never happens in isolation. It always happens within the context of the body of Christ, a healthy, well-balanced body of Christ. As we do that, we grow in grace. Grace overtakes us. It is, if you stand in the sun, like getting a suntan. I mean, there's something that happens. It's not static. It's not as though, well, nothing's happening here. Something actually happens that's transformative. And it isn't, again, transformative in ways of fear, because now the very one who created you becomes your friend, and you become a friend of God and have the awesome responsibility to be a co-laborer with Christ up until the time that he appears a second time, and then we will live with him forever in renewed bodies in a restored universe. So perfect love casts out fear. And what we're describing here, in answer to your question, is a state of perfect love. And that, again, is entered into when you are buried to your old life, raised to your new life, and then take up your cross and daily follow him. A lot could be said about this, a very, very deep and penetrating question, a question that all of us in one stage or another are considering as we live out our allotted days on this planet. Who knows? Tomorrow is not guaranteed, but while we're alive, we are co-consummators with our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we go into the presence of God. We call him Abba, Father. I mean, the incredible nature of the Christian life is so often undervalued. The very thing we were created for is fellowship with God, and that's what we can have. Again, perfect love casting out fear. Coming back in just a few moments from the break, we'll be giving you the quote of the day. It has to do with what I open the show with, and then we'll be taking more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back.
Do you realize that at this very moment, the persecution of Christians is gaining momentum around the world? Not just the brutal persecution of fellow believers by Islamic jihadists, but the soft persecution of Christians here at home by secular progressives? It's imperative that as Christians, we stand against this rising tide of persecution. To make your voice heard and your convictions felt, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I started the broadcast talking about the cover story in Time magazine, Beyond He or She, How a New Generation is Redefining the Meaning of Gender. And I thought in that respect, I would quote the ever quotable Rod Dreher. He's an American writer, Eastern Orthodox Christian, senior editor and blogger at the American Conservative, who said this: "Today, we live in a cultural climate in which to have ordinary questions about one's sexuality is to be drawn into a powerful cultural movement, a movement that is celebrated by the media and that demonizes anyone who challenges its radical claims. They've torn down the cultural and psychological barriers that in the past would have guided young people through the often difficult psychosexual terrain of adolescence and early adulthood. Now, there is no roadmap. To be lost is to find yourself, they say. Rod Dreyer, the quote of the day. Let's go right back to the phone calls. Elijah in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
I just had a quick question.
Sure.
I believe that the Bible, which is God's word, is the absolute authority. So when God says in Leviticus 18:22 that homosexuality, which I believe includes transgenders, is a sin, that means it's a sin. But the Bible also says to love your neighbor. So, for example, let's say a man wants to identify as a woman. Would it be compromising my testimony to address him as a her? Or is that acceptable because I'm showing them respect as my neighbor and fellow creature of God?
Well, I don't think, a very good question, by the way, I don't think that we have to give in to the cultural narrative. I mean, one of the problems is that's precisely what we've done. So now the narrative has been communicated so long and with such fervency that we now think that same-sex sexuality, we think about it in terms of identity as opposed to behavior. So what have we done? We've, as it were, chugged the Kool-Aid. We've bought into a narrative, and now we are, in essence, using the very narrative of the culture rather than a narrative which enlightens, enlivens, and brings, well, in bottom life. I don't think we have to capitulate to the narrative, but I do think we have to, in all things, exercise what you alluded to, and rightly so, love. Because the idea is never to repel, but it is to reach. And Jesus gave so many examples of that while he was on this planet. As Theanthropus, the God-man, he gave us so many examples of loving kindness. In fact, he was the antithesis of the Pharisees with the long pointed bony fingers. He did what he did to reach rather than repel. But did he ever capitulate to the culture? No, he did not. And we shouldn't either, because we're following Jesus Christ as a role model.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it. Well stated question. Fantastic. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jay. He's listening in Longview, Texas on Bot Radio. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Hank. I have a question. First of all, I love your show. I listen to you every day on the way home from work.
Thank you.
My question doesn't really have to do with the topic that, or the popular topic of the day, gender fluidity, but kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, I would say. My ex-wife has joined the Mormon Church. We had a son together years ago. He is about to turn 8. And as you probably know, that's when they want to baptize and make them a member. The thing is, I didn't know they do this. They are requiring my permission in order to have that baptism. But I'm having... I'm not feeling okay with it, but I kind of want your opinion on, as a Christian, would I be like condoning Mormonism by allowing him to be baptized by the Mormon Church?
Well, of course you would be, and I think since you have a say in the matter, what I would, with gentleness and respect, say, I don't want my son baptized in the name of a Jesus who was a counterfeit. I mean, this is the spirit brother of Lucifer in Mormonism, not the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So the Mormon Jesus is no Jesus at all, and to be baptized in the name of a false god, if you have saying the matter, I would exercise that say. Again, do it with gentleness and with respect, and give the reasoning for why you think that this is harmful. Again, the primary reason is that every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God, and this is perhaps the quintessential example, where you take the Creator, who is before all things and in whom all things hold together, and reduce him to a spirit brother of Lucifer and the offspring of Father God and Mother God. This is a false religion. This is a false concept of Christ. And I think, again, to communicate that with gentleness and with respect, with meekness and reverence, is precisely what you ought to do, because you have been given the prerogative to do so.
That's what I felt. I felt I needed to ask you and hear it. Someone who could put it into better words, I guess. Thank you.
You got it, Jay, and my prayers go with you. I don't say that tritely. I have been praying for people that God lays on my heart, and this is certainly one of the situations that I will remember. So not only I, but a lot of people listening in will be praying for you and this circumstance. I mean, the biggest issue is not the no. The biggest issue is, may your son come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May he live within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church where he might experience the graces of God. And, you know, sometimes when we look at situations, they seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible, and prayer is firing the winning shot. So we will be praying, Jay. I know a lot of people will be joining me in that.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to KC in Brownsville, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, KC.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've actually got a two-part question, if that's all right, and if you have the time. Kind of unrelated, but related to me. The first thing is my husband and I, we both attend church. We're both involved in church, and up until about 2 years ago, we tithed regularly, and around 2 years ago, we had the birth of a child, and with that came, you know, additional expenses, and other expenses popped up, and we continued to tithe for about 6 months, and with that, we just noticed our credit card debt just growing more and more, because we had to make ends meet and put stuff on credit, so we made the decision to stop tithing in order to pay off debt. But since that has happened, I have really felt disconnected spiritually. I don't really feel like I hear from God, and I feel really guilty about it. And that kind of leads to my second part, is recently, within the past few weeks, I have really felt the leading and the urge to fast. But I have never fasted. I mean, it's just something I've read about in the Bible, but I've never done it. And I've tried unsuccessfully probably 3 or 4 times already. And it seems like it should be something super easy to do, but I can't even make it past lunch. and I just don't really know where to start. And I don't feel like I'm hearing anything from God prayer-wise. So that's all over the place, but that's where I'm at.
Well, I don't think it's all over the place. I'm glad you asked both those questions. I think they're significant. First of all, in terms of guilt for not tithing and your credit card situation, I think what's critical is that we lay our circumstances before the Lord on a regular basis. And the Lord knows our circumstances. I don't think that it is right for you to pile up credit card debt while you're paying interest on the money. It's kind of like what we've done in the United States, where we have a $20 trillion debt, and we're pawning off the ramifications of that on our kids and our grandkids, and maybe the ramifications come due in our lifetime. Pretty draconian situation. Oftentimes we don't want to pay attention to it because it is a daunting thing to think about. But we don't want to do the same thing. What we want to do is be good stewards of what God gives us, and that is our time, our talent, and our treasure. And, you know, we need to order our lives properly. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. This is something that is always on my mind, particularly as I get older. The Lord has blessed me in many ways. how am I using my resources now? In my particular case, I'm in sort of the opposite situation where I'm actually enjoying giving and want to give more. And so I'm kind of learning that art. That art has no boundaries to it. I remember a friend of mine many years ago, he's dead now, his name was Stanley Tam, wrote a book, God Owns My Business. At the end of his life, he was giving everything, and he couldn't outgive the Lord. I think the real issue here, and what I'm underscoring maybe in short, is this is a matter of the heart. Well, a lot more could be said about this, but let me move on to fasting in that I only have a few more minutes, and say quickly that with respect to fasting, the whole idea here is that you want to make sure that your God is not your belly. And you want to feast on God as opposed to necessarily feasting on food. There are a lot of ways to fast. During the Lenten period, there's a particular fast that I follow. It doesn't mean that I'm fasting completely from food, but I am fasting from eggs and from meat and from dairy products and these kinds of things. And even then, sometimes it's difficult, but this is a great way to break into fasting. So there are a lot of different ways in which you can learn to fast, but this is an incredible discipline. This discipline is wonderful on a lot of levels, even on giving, because when you fast, you save on food. The money you save, you can give. So there are a lot of ways in which you can use your resources for God's glory. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The resources that I talked about, you can find online at equip.org. And do remember our mailing address, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants also standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. If I didn't get to your call, my apology. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk sometime in the future. We do thank all of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, either through prayer or through your financial support. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity, and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death.
Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.